Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Who took the bomb?
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and this week we'll be sharing some buried treasures, under-the-radar sounds you need to hear. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kot. First, some new album reviews. That is a Hawkwind classic, Born to Go, as covered by Monster Magnet. Monster Magnet itself, progenitors of the stoner rock movement the last three decades. Dave Windorf, a larger-than-life character, to say the least. Out of New Jersey, he is the one constant in the band over those decades. Their new 11th studio album since 1991, A Better Dystopia, is out now. Windorf is a road dog. He loves going out on tour. He's into that album tour cycle. When that couldn't happen because of COVID, he and the band bunkered down and recorded an album of some of their favorite psych rock, stoner rock, proto-metal favorites over the years. It's a batch of cover songs from their favorites. Here's a band that has been around, as I said, since 1991. Their breakthrough album, Power Trip, in 1998, defined this movement in many ways. And the movement that I'm talking about, the stoner rock movement, the key bands in that movement, along with Monster Magnet, were Sleep, Trouble, Caius. They defined this sound that has become, kind of the template for what new metal could sound like. You know, taking that example set by, say, Black Sabbath, from the early 70s, late 60s, and bringing it forward for a new generation of listeners. This covers album is, in a way, an homage to the roots of that sound that Monster Magnet is coming from. We're going to play a track from the new Monster Magnet album before we review it. It's called A Better Dystopia, and the track is called Motorcycle Straight to Hell. It's a relatively recent band, Table Scraps, a UK band. And this track is from their 2018 album. So Monster Magnet is basically covering the waterfront, going from the earliest days of stoner rock to their contemporaries, like this particular band, Table Scraps. Monster Magnet with Motorcycle Straight to Hell on Sound Opinions. We'll be right back.
Monster Magnet with Motorcycle, and you have to pause, Greg, because the other part of the title's in parens.
Yeah.
Straight to Hell. All right, now, I am a stoner rock aficionado. I'm a huge Monster Magnet fan. I am a real Hawkwind fan, and I got to say, of the 13 tracks on this album, I didn't know a single one of them. All right, so this is get out of your head that this is Windorf doing some sort of cash-in or time filler with a covers album in between, writing new material.
Yeah,
I think this is a statement about the genre he loves, that dirty, filthy, heavy metal combined with the space rock, psychedelic rock exploration of a Hawkwind or Jerusalem, another band that's on here. It's also a gift for his legion of followers, because I know that people are going to be using the streaming platforms to go from one song. I'd never heard of Pooh Bah, right? And that's
right.
A great cover on here. I'd never heard of... I knew Scientists, but him taking that Australian punk rock band and putting them in a new context here really opened my ears. You know, Windorf is a rock historian. He's a scholar. He's as much of a critic as you or me. This is a great album. It is not as great. It is not a must-own, like Spine of God, which I think was their high point. But it's better than the last couple of Monster Magnet albums, which to me have just been excuses. You know, recycle the formula, we're going on the road, boys. They just have lacked the spark of earlier recordings. You know, Locked Up, he said it took him all of 3 weeks before he started going crazy during the pandemic and deciding to make this album about what we were living in, dystopia, but trying to make it better. I think it really brought something out of him that's been lacking in the last couple of releases. I love it.
Yeah, I disagree. I think the last couple, we reviewed one or two of the recent releases in the last 5 years, and I think they were very much in line with his best work. The sense of humor has always been a defining characteristic with Windorf. But this is pretty darn serious, you know?
This is a heavy
album. He's drawing that line, that connection between what he is today and these bands that inspired him, including current inspirations like Table Scraps, which are like my new favorite band. You know, there was a band that I...
Did you go back and listen to them?
Oh, yeah. I listened to all their stuff, and I was not hyper aware of them. But they're great, and thank you, Dave, for pointing that out. But, you know, going back to like the early 70s band like Dust... which I discovered was the first band featuring Mark Bell, future Ramones drummer.
Yeah.
Morgan. You know, I'd heard that name, Long Island psych rockers from the late 60s. He does that Welcome to the Void song at the end of the record.
Come take a bite of my gingerbread house and let your troubles fade.
He's drawing some really cool connections here, and as you said, not obvious choices. So again, doing God's work in the stoner rock realm, pointing back to the heroes that he wants to bring attention to, as opposed to the really obvious choices that he could have made. This guy's a stoner rock lifer. There's no doubt about it. Windorf's going to die with his boots on, and he's going to be playing a guitar.
He's like Lemmy.
Yeah.
No doubt about
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
And I just can't imagine. Forever now I drive alone past your street.
That is a little bit of a hit that has been ubiquitous through this year of 2021, Driver's License by Olivia Rodrigo. You know, Olivia is owning this year. There have been three top 10 Billboard hits so far in 2021, and now comes a full debut album, Sour. Who is this young woman? You know, she grew up in Murrieta, California. First love was singing, was starting to play instruments by kindergarten, and by 12, she was gravitating to the guitar. She is another product of the Disney Entertainment Factory. She was in a Disney Channel series called Bizardvark, and that led to the Disney Plus series, and you have to be careful not to screw this up, High School Musical, the series. This is sort of the postmodern sequel to just plain old High School Musical. It gets very confusing. In between this television stardom, she has continued to write songs. She has, always considered music her first love, as I said. And now comes this debut album. She wrote or co-wrote all the material, had a big say in the sound with producer Daniel Negro. What is this stuff about? Let's play a song. This is the opening track from Sour. It is called Brutal, and we'll come back and give our reviews. Olivia Rodrigo on Sound Opinions.
I'm so insecure, I think that I'll die before I drink. And I'm so caught up in the news of who likes me and who hates you. And I'm so tired that I might quit my job, start a new life. And they'd all be so disappointed, cause who am I if not exploited? And I'm so sick of 17, I'm over this teenage dream. If someone tells me one more time, enjoy your youth, I'm gonna cry. And I don't stick up for myself, I'm anxious and nothing can help. And I wish I'd done this before, and I wish people liked me more. All I did was try my best. Brutal out here.
That is Brutal from the Olivia Rodrigo debut album called Sour. That's a great opening track. There's a sense about this record that it's a series of righteous complaints, you know, like she's mad at the world, she's upset about the way things are going, relationships are breaking down, she's having trouble getting over them. I think it's so cool. I'm not cool and I'm not smart. I can't even parallel park.
Yeah, I know.
I can relate.
And I'm not cool and I'm not smart and I can't even parallel park.
You know, I've had those days, Olivia. I totally understand where you're coming from there. You know, in addition to the self-deprecating humor in there, there's also that, you know, she knows how to skewer the people that, done her wrong in time-found rock tradition. But in a true 2000s fashion, there are no demarcations between genre here. This is about mixing and matching genre. It's not about, you know, I'm this, I'm that, I'm all of these things. I'm listening to everything from hip-hop to rock, you know, and actually very good with the ballads. I mean, Driver's License being the obvious example, a piano ballad that basically springboarded her to fame overnight. But, you know, I think of a song like One Step Forward, Three Steps Back. You know, this is, these are tough words, spinning venom.
It's always one step forward and three steps back. Do you love me, want me, hate me? Boy, I don't understand.
In contrast to other Disney stars who have sort of been homogenized for public consumption, you know, there's a lot of explicitness on this record.
No. What the words you are looking for is she cusses up a blue streak.
She does.
I love it.
And there is no mincing words with Olivia Rodrigo. Good for you. A great power pop song. Happier, that sort of sweet and sour ballad. I love the what she's talking about here. Like, I'm cutting down a rival, but am I really helping anyone by doing that? You're cutting down somebody who could be you. She's saying, you know, maybe this is the wrong way to approach this problem that I'm having. I like the idea that she is openly grappling with her emotional issues, not mincing words, and bringing a lot of musical variety to it.
There's something universal. She is an excellent writer, Greg. When she is writing about, you know, you said forever to an ex-lover, and now I drive alone down your street, right? I mean, that is just brilliant. And there is so much humor and so much insight and so much cussing. I love when she gets angry. I am with her as a writer. Now, here comes the bad part. You know, what you're hearing as genre mixing, I'm hearing as a pop machine bland out, because Brutal is absolutely one of my favorite songs of the year, of maybe of the decade. I mean, what a fantastic song. Good For You is almost as good. And then the rest of the album is mired in soggy mid-tempo, which could work. I'm not anti-ballad. I have my sensitive side. You know, it could work in a Fiona Apple, Tori Amos, strip everything away setting, but the digital sweetener of the, you know, the pop circa 2022 mindset, it's just overproduced, don't you think?
I think there's a woman who is listening to Ingrid Michaelson and Green Day. You know, it's like she's, I think she's paying...
And loving them both.
And loving them both. And yeah, there's room in her world for all those things. I think it's kind of more of her showing her range of interests. I think, I don't doubt that there will be more focused and probably self-produced albums in her future.
Yeah, I want, you know, like a Billie Eilish production,
yeah,
on this.
And I think that's coming.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I'm agreeing with you 100%. A talent to watch.
So now we've had our say on the latest from Monster Magnet and the debut from Olivia Rodrigo. What do you think of those records? Give us your opinions on our Facebook group or share them with our Patreon community. Or you can leave us a voice message on our website at soundopinions.org. Coming up, we share a fresh batch of buried treasures we think everyone should hear on Sound Opinions.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. You know, every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
They're all good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, you know, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island. So we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, lemonade, shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer.
We're back. This week, we're sharing a rich bounty of buried treasures from relatively unknown artists that we've been loving. People always ask us, how do you find these buried treasures? I've got a story pretty much attached to everyone. There is no methodology other than sometimes you're like the, you know, you're the blind squirrel and you find that acorn. It's kind of like, that's the way I feel sometimes.
Yeah. You know, we've got our antenna up all the time. It's always, a joyful moment to discover something that we want to share with the audience, Greg. I feel a little guilty. As far as buried, I don't know if we can say if the Linda Lindas are buried anymore. You talk about the viral sensation of the year in the music realm. These young women, two Latinx girls and two Asian girls in Los Angeles, have been everywhere. I mean, I had this shared in my various social media feeds easily 5 dozen times, the song Racist Sexist Boy. It was something that was needed at the moment, shouting out against, let's face it, both Latinx and Asian racism, and a furious growl in the face of that delivered in a live performance in a library, right? You've seen the video.
Yeah.
All right. you said to me a week or two ago when we were discussing the video, like everybody has been, you know, it's like all these people so excited have never heard Riot Girl, right? And I wanted to see if the Linda Lindas, who instantly, when all the hubbub happened, got signed to Epitaph Records, you know, are they a one-hit wonder? Was this one moment? And no, every track you can find that the band has so far recorded and a bunch of live ones that weren't even enhanced in the studio are really good, good to great. And this is a song that is great that I think is even better than Racist Sexist Boy. And yes, some people have heard Riot Girl. The Linda Lindas set out at their barely mid-teen age to cover Bikini Kill, to cover Rebel Girl by that band. Bikini Kill was obviously an inspiring band for political reasons and reasons of purpose. You know, the best-known band in the Riot Girl movement, but I always said they could be very hard to listen to. You know, there were not the hooks that earlier punk pioneering women like X-Ray Specs had, right? I love the way the Linda Lindas, in covering Bikini Kill, take a sort of 50s rock and roll tunefulness that I'd never heard in the song with Bikini Kill and bring it to the forefront. I doubt that it actually comes from listening to, you know, Chuck Berry or Bo Diddley or Etta James. I think it probably comes from Grease the musical, right? But the tunefulness in this cover of Rebel Girl says to me that we are going to be hearing more great things from the Linda Lindas when they give us an album on Epitaph, and I can't wait for it. Here they are.
That girl thinks she's the queen of the neighborhood.
That is the Linda Lindas covering Rebel Girl. Now, okay, some people are saying, this band is a ringer, you know? The one dad was the publisher of that great Asian-American pop culture magazine, Giant Robot. The other one worked as a Grammy-winning mixer and engineer for Paramore and Best Coast. You know, I think that is ageism and sexism. You know, I mean, these girls have the chops. Girls, because they are girls, right? Listen to the music, and then don't tell me it's dad giving them a pat on the back.
This is a nice power pop version of a great song.
Yeah.
And Kathleen Hanna somewhere is smiling that somebody, hey, you know, it's great that a new generation is getting turned on to Bikini Kill.
She's been quoted on them. She loves them.
If it takes the Linda Lindas to do it, then I'm all for it. I think it's a great thing. My first artist is going to be a 20-year-old Filipino African-American artist who grew up in San Diego, Jelani Arye. He has been putting out music for a couple of years now. He put out a couple of EPs. He had a internet connection with a chat group that was steeped in Odd Future and Brockhampton as inspirations, you know, this sort of idea of a collective making music together. And he put together his own collective called Raised by the Internet that he has been collaborating with over the last few years. So after those initial EPs, he finally put out some singles in this new year with anticipation coming toward a new album. Don't know the date yet, but it's apparently coming. These singles are extremely promising. To my mind, the best thing he's done so far. But an example, again, of an artist working loosely in the sort of R&B slash, you know, indie rock realm, you know, kind of blending different influences, not really being any one thing in particular, but basically putting the song at the core of it. He promises that the new record, new album is going to have more guitar and more psych rock influences. But I love the grooves on this particular track that I'm going to play. That bass line just kills me. Marigold from Jelani Arye on Sound Opinions.
In your stereo loud, flaunting your taste, blazing the space around you with love, light, and marigold sounds. Pray we live a long life, seeking our futures out. Sun come brighten. You're the talk of the town, prince of the pride, titan of a mighty sound. My highness, will you come down?
Jelani Arye, Marigold, new single, prelude to a new album.
I love the voice and I love the production aesthetic, Greg, but it struck me that when you were talking about the groove, it's a little monotonous. It kind of starts out mechanical and doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, well, it's more of a dance floor thing. You know, I think that's, you know.
Yeah, but it's slower.
Maybe try standing up and dancing to it.
Oh, snap. I mean, like,
come on, let's go.
I want a little more adrenaline in my dance grooves,
well,
Mr.
I was adrenalized when I was moving around the room.
I'm giving you, compare the adrenaline in that to the adrenaline in this track I'm going to play. You know, so the Linda Lindas are you know, it's like even before everybody's heard them, the backlash is already starting, you know, with the talk of their dads and getting signed to Epitaph, right? You know, never mind that they already had this career. Their version of Rebel Girl was good enough to get them in the Netflix film Moxie, where they played themselves. They're not the only band doing this, Greg, and that is the thing that's funny to hear commentators thinking they are. In Fort Worth, Texas, a harder place to grow up than Los Angeles for anybody thinking outside the box, again, three young women and the male drummer they let hang out with them, aged 13 to 15, begin playing at School of Rock. Now, I generally speaking don't like that nationwide chain. The number of dads I've had emailing me Junior's Tasty Licks Frank Zappa song, you know, it's like a... But these young friends came together and they came out with something brilliant, finding a shared love of punk pop that, again, you know, we got to remember the Ramones took 50s rock and roll, tripled the speed and the energy and added humor. That's what these young women are doing with the Ramones or even the Green Days and Screeching Weasels. They have a song called Kill Courtney from a fantastic album, Honeybee, that came out last year. The timing was awful. Comes out in the middle of the pandemic when you know, they are not able to get out there and play it for people. But a friend of mine, how do these buried treasures come to us? A friend of mine on Facebook from my college days, you know, the first one of the first shows he got to see, now that the world is opening up again, is Ting Tang Tina playing in Fort Worth, and blew him away. And he is a super fan and said everybody's got to listen to it. So, you know, somebody I've known that long ago, I'll listen to it. Let me see if you're wrong. And he's not wrong. I love the Honeybee album. I love this song, Kill Courtney. They are not taking aim at Courtney Love. They are talking about, I think, that mean girl who still exists in every high school in America, who was there when you and I were in high school, Greg, who always will be there. And, you know, they're skewering her and saying we're cooler. We are not cool by anybody's standard definition, but we are who we are, and that makes us cool. Again, you know, dad gets some of the credit. Ruby Lewis, the singer, the driving force, is the daughter of the singer in the Toadies, okay? So people in Texas, oh, you know, she's a legacy. I like her band better than the Toadies by far, I'll tell you that. And, you know, in interviews, she just keeps repeating the mantra, we're just teenagers having fun. We have this passion. We are following it. You go, girls. Ting Tang Tina, Kill Courtney.
The way the sun hits her face in the morning.
Yeah.
Ting Tang Tina, Kill Courtney. Generally speaking, journals, the Kurt Cobain posthumous collection thereof, is not worth having, except he does write a letter to Lester Bangs, and there is one immortal quote: "The future of rock belongs to the girls." He ain't wrong.
Well, yeah, I think that's probably manifesting itself over and over again in the last 10 years, for
right,
sure.
From the beginning of time. Yeah. It's just that people were not paying attention.
Not paying attention, yeah. My next pick is not a girl band. They're actually from Wales, South Wales, Cardiff, to be precise. You know, I was mentioning at the top, like, sometimes you feel like a blind squirrel finding the acorn, right, when you find a band. I was researching something completely unrelated to this particular band by the name of Seaside Witchcoven.
That's a great, great, great name.
But what I stumbled across is I'm looking up psychiatry, the history of psychiatry, and I'm looking up Freud, right? And all of a sudden, I stumble across.
Do I have to worry about you?
Yeah, you do have to worry, because I don't know how I fell down this rabbit hole, but I stumbled across a song called Pink Freud by Seaside Witchcoven. And I go right away, song title sounds pretty cool, band name sounds pretty cool, let's try this out. It's a single from 2019 put out by this band. It turns out they have three songs, exactly three songs available. Two recorded in 2019. We all know what happened in 2020. Yeah. They went away. They couldn't record together. Now they're back in the studio. Now they made their third song, or at least recorded their third song, which I love. It's called King Fried. I don't know much about this band.
King Fried follows
Pink Freud.
Pink Freud.
Exactly. You know, right away, they sort of have a streak of weirdness to them.
This song gets
to me. I love the driving rhythm guitar. And then at the end, there's this kind of like, it sounds like two or three guitars going at it where they're sort of tangling and into the outro. Who knows if this band's any good, to be honest, but I just love this song. It's King Fried from Seaside Witchcoven on Sound Opinions.
Seaside Witchcoven, or Coven, however you want to say
tomato
it.
Tomato or tomato?
You know, King Fried, I mean, these are the lyrics that jump out. I want to get high, I want to get fried. I was like, yeah, all right. But there's a sophistication, Greg, like with Monster Magnet we were talking about earlier. You know, at about 2.5 minutes in comes this super melodic part that I wasn't expecting. You know, you said maybe it's a bunch of overdubbed guitars. I think it could be the really cheap Mellotron patch on a bargain synth, because that's what it sounds like. There's a little touch of King Crimson wispiness.
I'll take it. I love it.
That's what I thought. In a minute, we'll return with a guest who'll share their buried treasure pick on Sound Opinions. Remember in 2018 when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported those parents back to their home countries, and kept the kids in the United States? Believe it or not, 6 years later, there are still hundreds of families who have not yet been reunited.
Though we as a community may feel hopeless at times, we recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice.
Since 2018, they've reunited over 100 refugee families ripped apart by the zero-tolerance policy of the previous administration. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family find legal representation, housing, and the counseling they need in order to heal and get back on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like us and believe that all families belong together, then join us supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. That's gum.fm/charity.
You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website, elotrolado.org/volunteer.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back, and we've been sharing some of our recent buried treasures. It is time now to hear from a guest critic. We always love to know what our peers are listening to, and this week we are talking with Annie Zaleski. She is an author, editor, and journalist whose work has appeared in NPR Music, Rolling Stone, The Guardian, many more publications, and she just wrote a fine book for the 33 and a third series on Duran Duran's Rio. Hey, Annie, welcome to Sound Opinions.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here.
I admire your writing, Annie. It is fun. So tell us about the band you want to highlight.
So it's a little bit in the kind of the 80s vein. They're called Topographies, and they're from San Francisco. And they actually have a kind of link to the early 80s. It features Gray Tolhurst, who's actually the son of Lowell Tolhurst.
Of The Cure. Oh, wow. That's royalty in 80s fandom.
Absolutely. And you might not be surprised that the record of the song kind of sounds like The Cure, but with a little bit of a modern spin, a little bit of an indie shoegaze spin. But he does it very, very well.
So what's the song you wanted to highlight?
So the song I wanted to highlight is called See You As You Fall. And it's, you know, lyrically, it's very simple. There's just a couple of verses and it's kind of abstract. And, it's kind of talking about the cycle of life and the circle of life and, you know, and ruminating on what it's like. I mean, maybe a little bit of the afterlife. But the song is just really kind of moody, but also kind of wistful and nostalgic. And it just really grabbed me when I first heard it. It's on their debut album, Ideal Form.
Cool. Let's play a little bit of See You As You Fall from Topographies.
When I saw you.
So, Annie, very, very much as you described, I mean, if I had known, as you told us, that a son of a Cure member was on this track, I would have said, where's the fog machine? We need some of that early 80s post-punk vibe going on here. Very cool stuff. And I know you love that sound. I know that's kind of a big era for you, isn't it?
That darkness, that moodiness, I just can't help it. It just touches my heart, my cold black heart.
See, I actually think, Annie, that this is a little more upbeat than some of the other Topographies tracks that I went and sampled. It's got those chiming guitars at the beginning that remind me of The Church.
That is another favorite of mine. So I think that's also probably why I really like this record. You know, but The Church, you figure they're the very early Church stuff. Also kind of gothic, a little bit gloomier, you know, some of the stuff that didn't get airplay in America. So
no,
I hear it.
Annie, having paid tribute to with a brilliant book-length dissection of Duran Duran's Rio, what's your next project?
I'm actually in the midst of working on a book on the B-52s at the moment, actually. So talk about polar opposite from...
There you go.
The gloomy.
Well, you'll have to come back and tell us about that when you've done it. You're welcome anytime, Annie.
Awesome. I'm game.
All right. From flashback time with Annie, Greg, I'm going to go with something absolutely timeless for my next pick. You know, there is this tradition in Chicago of one-person artists sitting alone in their bedrooms making wonderful space-age bachelor pad music. I can never get enough of that. I know you love it, too. On the heels of Clive Tanaka, who really made a worldwide splash with his mysterious alter ego. We have no idea who he is to this day. Cassette-only releases. Comes a young man who did not only tell me his name, but how to pronounce it. Ryan Mira, who records as Yellow Pills, has a new album called Space Age Inferno. You know, I am a sucker for the buried treasure pick that comes direct from an artist, and especially when it, as Ryan wrote to me, he says, maybe you'll hate it. But I tend to agree with your take on stuff 99% of the time. It's like, you know, not it's not ego. You've got to check that out instantly, right? At least when it's time to listen to 30 or 40 contenders for buried treasures. I'll tell you why. Because usually that I agree with everything you say, Jim. You're going to love this. You know, it winds up being completely from Mars. You sent me like the electronica version of Polka. What made you think I would like that? You know. Actually, as I'm saying that, I probably would like that.
Yeah, it sounds pretty cool to me.
That kind of genre diversity fuels what Ryan is doing as Yellow Pills. You know, we have surf and garage and funk and lounge music and cabaret and electronica. You know, on all of these instruments, some wonderful electric guitar that is pure Ennio Morricone, some wonderful, you know, organs and analog synths that are very much from that space age bachelor ethos of the early 60s when all of this was new and you needed music to mix cocktails to. And, you know, and that is exactly what he's giving us. The track I'm going to play, it could not be titled better. Come over and eat some food. This is dinner party music. I love it. So Yellow Pills. Pills, come over and eat some food. And yes, every track on this new album, Space Age Inferno, is that good.
Yeah, I actually love that that sort of gritty lo-fi space age bachelor pad vibe. You know, it's, you know, space age bachelor pad music is very precise and very pristinely recorded, but this is kind of the lo-fi version of that, and I love it.
Yeah, well, you know, he comes from New Mexico, where he was part of that scene that gave us the Shins and moved to Chicago. Why anybody would leave New Mexico to move to Chicago, I don't know.
Well,
but he's also done a lot of work with the theater scene here, so I think he's got that kind of, you know, cinematic ethos.
Well, that's cool. I the artist that I'm going to play next comes from Hobart, Indiana. You know, Mexican-American, bilingual. What else is there to do in Hobart, Indiana but just make songs in your bedroom, right? And that's how this guy got started. Omar Apollo is his name. And now we have a full album from him that came out late last year. Got some praise, got some streams, and kind of illustrated to me how brilliant this guy is. Some of the tracks that made the most noise to me were the most conventional of the bunch in his repertoire. But this guy plays bass, he drums, he plays guitar, he's a producer, a programmer, sings all the vocals, including the background vocals on this record. A very rich musical perspective that he's bringing to his songwriting. And again, cutting across multiple genres. The debut album is called Apollonio, and here's a track from it called Useless on Sound Opinions. Omar Apollo with Useless from his debut album on Sound Opinions, one of my buried treasures.
You know, the only complaint I'd make about that one, Greg, I'm picking yours apart this week. I'm sorry. But it goes on way too long. There's like a false ending and then two more minutes.
Well, you're one of those, 2000s kids, the 30-second attention span.
Yeah, well,
the
Linda
Lindas
and Ting Tang Tina. It's like, look, if you can do it in 2.5 minutes, why are you wasting a minute more?
I'm hearing a lot of kind of boilerplate power pop from you today, buddy. You know, you got to shake it up a little bit.
I am going to shake it up. I'm going to shake it up right now. And, in fact, in choosing this band, I had to remember that 2010 is a long time ago. That was the one and only time you talked about a Chicago group called Disappears on the show. They made your mid-year top 10 that year, but not your end-of-year top 10. And Disappears was one of the many. This is a popular genre in Chicago. Post-punk bands, right? Doing that kind of, or post-rock, post-punk, artsy, progressive rock, but way more minimal, right? A very popular Chicago sound. Everybody wanted to be Slint. Some of them were noisier, some of them were quieter. For the last couple of years, over the course of four albums, the band that came out of Disappears, led by guitarist-vocalist Brian Case, has been called Facts, F-A-C-S. And they have a new album called Present Tense, recorded over at Electrical Audio, but not with Steve Albini, that is just mind-blowingly good. Yes, it is part of this genre of post-rock, but with a lot more sense of space in the music. Everything lives in its own space, and Aliana Kalaba's keyboards and drums and bass on occasion plays all those things, along with Noah Ledger playing keyboards and drums. This is prog rock. This is like King Crimson's most melodic side, but delivered in Chicago, right? In the post-rock realm. I just think this is amazing, and I love the way the title of the song I'm going to play, Strawberry Cough, right? It brings to mind, you know, I smoked so much substance, I am coughing my lungs out, but oh, it's sweet. Strawberry Cough by Facts.
Wasn't the springtime
Strawberry Cough by Fax. The whole album is also that good. Present tense.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I've been a big fan of what Case has been doing. I thought Disappears was a great band. And this band, Fax, was in many ways a left turn. He took some of the members from Disappears and formed this band and brought kind of a post-punk take on what he was doing in Disappears, which was more like the arty punk driving, you know, linear. This was more atmospheric. But I'm starting to hear him bringing more melody back into the songwriting on this latest album, which is a great progression. Last but not least on our buried treasures list for me is the band Darkside. We had them in the studio actually years ago.
How can they be buried if they've been featured on the Sound Opinions
program? Well, I mean, I think we did a great job of making sure that no one would hear about
their career.
My main thing is that more people should have been talking about the band in 2013 when they released their debut album, Psychic. And I thought that album was one of my favorites of that year. And then they sort of went away. It's a duo. Dave Harrington, who plays he's a multi-instrumentalist, and Nicholas Yar, who is a DJ slash vocalist. They come from two different worlds, melding these sensibilities together whenever they come together for Darkside. You know, they refer to it tongue-in-cheek as their jam band. You know, because they're technically not jammy kind of guys, but when they get together, they create music out of these kind of, they vibe a little bit and they create something unique out of it. They've done it again with what I am greatly anticipating, a new album, but this the tracks that I've heard from it so far, very intriguing, picking up where they left off with Psychic, this sort of dark, atmospheric. There's a lot of instrumental, sections in the music. Occasionally, the vocals are definitely not treated as the main instrument. They're treated as an instrument in the production texture, as opposed to the focus. And they're doing something very different than they do separately that I really admire. Darkside is the name of the group. The Limit is the song we're going to play from Sound Opinions. Darkside with The Limit on Sound Opinions, the last of my buried treasures.
I was getting heavy Tricky vibes there.
Yeah, I mean, it's spooky, kind of atmospheric. I love it.
Yeah, good stuff. If you have a buried treasure, leave us a voice message with your pick and why on our website, soundopinions.org. Mr. Cott, what do we have on the show next week?
Next week, we only have one of the greatest bass players of all time, a guy who's played with everybody from D'Angelo to The Who, Pino Palladino, for an extensive interview about his career.
We always get the best interviews with those people who've been everywhere but just outside the spotlight. For more Sound Opinions, listen to our podcast wherever you find such things. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this program belong solely to Sound Opinions and not necessarily to Columbia College Chicago or our sponsors.
And speaking of sponsors, every week our show reaches hundreds of thousands of curious listeners from around the globe via podcast and on 150 public radio stations nationwide. If you'd like to learn more on how your business or organization can also reach this engaged and educated audience, you can email sponsor at soundopinions.org. That's sponsor at soundopinions.org.
Thanks, as always, to our Patreon supporters. Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne, our intern, Sol Delgadillo, and our social media consultant is Katie Cott.